Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a good one. We got a fun thing coming up a little bit later, a TikTok hack for when you can't remember someone's name.
Okay.
That's coming up a little bit later. Looking forward to that. But right now, I wanted to dive into some entertainment news to kick things off. We'll do that in just a second. I want to get into closings first. Of course, we went over all the school closings already. But I do want to remind everybody that when schools are closed here in the Wisconsin Rapids area, that usually means that Sweps is closed. So keep that in mind with their food pantries. And a big shout out to Aaron Wells at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, giving us a heads up that due to the school closings and icy weather, they are closing meals in Wisconsin Rapids today. This is both for senior dining meals and meals on wheels. Please look out for each other. You happen to know anybody that receives those meals. If you think they receive those meals, just check in on them. Check in, see if they could need anything. Let's show them what Midwesterners are all about.
They make a big batch of soup.
Yeah.
Yes.
And share.
And there will be no, unfortunately, there will be no Cowboy Union Jam at McMillan Memorial Library today. Due to the weather. That is a shame. I do want to send a shout out. I've been trying to get a hold of those guys. We want them on Director's Cut.
Yeah, we do.
I want to get them on Director's Cut. I got to get a hold of them. So if anybody's out there listening, a part of the Cowboy Union Jam, please reach out to Seth or
let us know.
Love to hear from you. We are going to talk about that big giveaway we got going on in a few moments, everybody, as part of our entertainment segment here. But first, wanted to get to this because it's making the rounds, and I actually had a listener ask me if we were going to talk about this.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it'd be appropriate to touch on, and I'd love to get your guys' feedback on this one. Gwen Stefani appropriated Japanese culture pretty dang heavy during her Harajuku era.
Yeah, right.
But she doesn't see it as a bad thing. In an interview with Allure, she says that when she first visited Japan, she had a revelation. Quote, this is a literal quote from her, "My God, I'm Japanese, and I didn't know it." She added, quote, "If people are going to criticize me for being a fan of something beautiful and sharing that, then I just think that doesn't feel right. I think it was a beautiful time of creativity. It should be okay to be inspired by other cultures, because if we're not allowed, then what, that's dividing people, right?" Now, interestingly, the woman conducting the interview was Asian, and she said, quote, "I don't believe Stefani was trying to be malicious or hurtful in making these statements, but words don't have to be hostile in their intent in order to potentially cause harm." I have seen very few examples of cultural appropriation bigger and more than in those days of Gwen Stefani. If you were looking in the dictionary of, hey, what's cultural appropriation? It's what she was doing. She had two Japanese women following her around everywhere, not just interviews and everything, like literally around the home. It's a kid. Then come on, people. You don't need me to say the S word here. If it wasn't that, it's as close as you can get to it without doing it.
Right.
And I got to say this too. I expected a lot more from her. I thought creatively when she comes out with No Doubt and all this, she's going to be different. She's going to be this, this, and this. And she turned into just another pop star. And maybe that's on me. Maybe part of this is that coming out of the this and everything.
Sure.
But when we're fighting so hard for representation, and this stuff happens, this is where the problem is, Gwen, and to people out there pushing back on this, that it's okay for a white woman to promote Japanese culture and be in, you know, have it all out there and everything. Well, how many Japanese artists do you know? How many Japanese artists do you know that you're proud that you promote just as much or anything like that? There's a balance. There's a line there.
Yeah.
We're all influenced by other cultures. We're all influenced by each other. That's one thing. It's a completely different thing for me to walk around with a bunch of red, green, and blue color, you know, or green, yellow, and red clothes, and walk around with like an African mandalin or something like that, and get dreadlocks and try to talk like this man or something like that, and be extremely, extremely, extremely offensive, because that's what you're doing. There's one of my favorite jokes in TV history. There's an episode of Seinfeld. I'm not a huge Seinfeld guy. But there's an episode where Bryan Cranston is playing a dentist, and he becomes Jewish. And Jerry has a feeling that he does this just because he likes telling Jew jokes.
I remember that one.
It's hilarious, but there's a depth of truth to it. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen this as Jews. We've seen people do literally things like this, mm-hmm. appropriate our culture. Hey, you know what? I like this, I like that, but I don't like you. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to actually deal with people of your culture, but I like this and this. So I'm going to pick and choose. I'm going to take this and this, but forget you and your people. That doesn't work for me.
Right. And this is something that's been going on for a long time. I mean, and it's an ongoing discussion. I think back to when Paul Simon released Graceland, the album. There was a lot of pushback from people about him appropriating African music, African culture. And that's still, I don't even know if that was ever resolved, you know, to anyone's satisfaction at that period, too. I mean, that's a good, it's a great question. And it's something we need to talk about. What do we think is the correct amount of, because obviously Paul Simon had a lot of respect and he loved that music. That was the whole reason why he did it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, so where's the balance here?
Where's the balance?
That's, we have to find out where the common ground is between something that is just using influences, or is it appropriation? And that's what we have to talk about.
Well, straight up saying I'm Japanese is a far cry from want to, you know, have a Zen sand garden in my living room.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I'll never forget, there was this kid, Forrest, in junior high, and I'm ripping on him about wearing like cross colors and some of these clothes and trying to talk, quote unquote, urban. He said, quote, black. And mm-hmm. he said that black was a state of mind. I will never forget this. This is a white, this pale, like almost transparent white kid with red hair telling me that being black is a state of mind. A person who has never, in his, and we're 14, 15 or whatever at the time and everything like that. I think that that should be encoded in, mm-hmm. you know, there's a big difference between somebody that age and somebody Gwen Stefani's age and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes. But even still, my God, man, like if that doesn't tell you there's something wrong here, I don't know what does. there's a balance there. We got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the balance needs to be honoring something and appreciating it for what it does versus taking it and trying to use it as your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the fine line, finding out where the balance is on that.
What is one of the more frustrating things to happen to people, especially in the workplace? Man, I got this really great idea. I tell somebody, and then they act like it's their idea. Hey, you know what? I had this great idea. All right? I came up with that. Me over here.
Whatever. Yeah,
I came up with this idea. I think that this is really cool. And it's not that different. Mm. Good news right here. We can now carry Dolly Parton with us everywhere. As we continue our exclusive coverage of everything Dolly, Dolly Parton is finally immortalized as a Funko Pop figure.
Of course.
Aww.
There are two different versions. One is exclusive to Funko, and she's wearing the white sparkly outfit from the 2014 Glastonbury Festival performance, one of her greats. The other is her in a sparkly orange outfit holding a banjo.
More country version there.
I like that one. I like the one with her with the banjo.
That's
They're both
nice.
Really cool, though.
Yeah.
That's great. Good for her. I want to see her holding one. You always see the person holding the Funko.
Their Funko, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see her holding one of these. That's good. I don't know how much those things are, but I would have one of those. I would buy one. I've never bought one.
Less than $12.
Really?
Yeah,
they're not bad. They're not too bad.
No. That is actually really nice to hear. Those things are hugely popular. That's cool.
Well, it was a smart business thing. Let's make something. Let's make a figure of everything. That's a great idea.
And here is possibly, now those, where are Funkos? Where did they get their start? How mm-hmm. did they rise to popularity in Asian culture?
Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the way they're animated or they're crafted, I don't, whatever you call it, you mm-hmm. know, when you make a figure
the
like that.
The look that they have.
The look is called, in Japan, it's called a super deformed, which just means, you know, you make it cute and you make the head really big and the body small kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a kind of art that comes from Japan. And you're right. Boy, you hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
And nobody's, having an issue with that because they're doing it the right way.
Yeah,
they're doing this smartly and everything.
Yeah.
Get your Dolly Parton Funko Pop now. And I had to mention this one, too, because I think this is just great, whether you're a fan of his or not. George Strait never goes out of style, so when he even hints about recording new music, you're going to want to listen. You're going to want to keep an ear out. Cowboys and Indians magazine asked what kind of lyrics he looks for in a song, and that's when he tipped us off. Side note, there's still a magazine called Cowboys and Indians out there.
I was just going to ask that.
I was like, what? Wait, what?
Oh, I feel like that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Probably.
I would like to actually talk a little more about that sometime. We'll have to make sure to put a note in that one and get back to that. But just staying on point.
On point, yes.
Quote, I like making records and plan on doing another one soon. I'm narrowing down my song choices now. And and you probably know George seldom writes his own songs, but he's brilliant at picking good ones. Mm-hmm. The man has sold over 120 million records.
That's just astonishing.
It really is.
It's amazing.
As for what he looks for in a song, he has to have a great melody, and if the lyrics are also good, then he's interested. Quote, a great lyric along with a great melody is obviously what you're looking to create. So will there be new music? It'll be a while before we hear it because he's still searching for songs. But you can guarantee that in the next, George Strait is saying that even in the next year and a half or so that he could have a new album out.
Man, what a career. What a career. He's been going strong for so long. Mm.
I want to touch on this as well because this is just a fun, good story of the day. How many Goonie fans out there? How many fans of Goonies?
Oh,
everybody, huh? Yep, yep. Well, Ki-Hae Kwan has been enjoying a career resurgence. You remember him as the young little Asian boy in Goonies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if anybody hasn't seen, do yourself a favor and see the amazing movie, one of the greatest movies I've seen in the last 10 years, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Woo, people. You like action, you like parallel universe movies and all this crazy stuff.
You just like crazy movies? There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. Not Same. To mention, if you like seeing a movie that doesn't have your average lead actors in it, like, I don't know, can I interest in you in a Michelle Yao, a action star, in her, an Asian action star woman in her 40s?
Michelle Yeoh makes everything better.
Everything.
Everything she's in, she makes better. She's awesome.
If Michelle Yeoh said, hey, I think I could do a better job hosting the morning show. Sure, sure. you got it, Michelle. You got it.
Take my job.
I believe her. I believe that she could.
Yes.
She is that level of good. And if you haven't seen this movie, I encourage you to check it out, everybody. It's really good.
So, Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, too.
Yeah, yes, sneaky good role in it. Sneaky good role in it.
Plays an IRS agent.
Yeah, yeah. And in part, he has one of his old Goonies co-stars to thank for.
Oh.
Kwan turned to Jeff Cohen to negotiate his contract. He says, quote, when the producer was trying to make my deal, he said he never imagined that he'd have to talk to Chunk and Data for his movie. Because, yes, Jeff Cohen was Chunk in the Goonies movies.
That's right.
He added, quote, Jeff is an outstanding lawyer. We'll be friends for life. He's my Goonies brother.
Aw, that's nice.
And that's what Jeff would go on to do.
He
for those
who
did not know,
yeah.
He became a very, very successful attorney.
Yes.
And a very intimidating attorney, if I might say. Much more, it's a shame that most people just know him from the makeup, because actually a pretty handsome guy. And had a chance to have a pretty good acting career. But I'm very happy for him that he found his second act.
Yeah,
pun intended. I didn't mean like that. Kwan won a Golden Globe last night for his work in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Really proud of him. That's
really cool.
Really wonderful acceptance speech. Very nicely done by him. And this is when we tell people, never, if you love something, you don't give up.
Never give up.
He was fighting for to get a second break. Now, he's had a couple of roles.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the movie that Michael Keaton did. Underrated. It was all about car making. It was all about car manufacturing and him working with an over the seas car manufacturer, Gun Ho or something like that. It was called.
I can't remember.
Sneaky good movie. Yeah. I believe he was in that, and he was great. He was really good in it. Speaking of the Golden Globes, just really quickly go through a handful of the winners from last night. The best drama went to The Fabelmans, Steven Spielberg's new movie.
Okay.
Cate Blanchett won best actress in a drama for Tar. God, I love me some Cate Blanchett.
She's great.
Best actor in a drama went to Austin Butler for Elvis. A little bit of a surprise there.
Nice.
But congratulations to the young man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not like that movie, but they liked his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not like Tom Hanks in that movie. It's like the one time I've heard people talk trash about Tom Hanks.
Whoa.
Best musical or comedy, The Banshees of Inisherin. So cool to see this movie do well. It's a silly little, you know, over the pond piece with Colin Farrell and the another great actor, Irish actor. Can't think of his name. But it's a good, fun movie. The best actress in a comedy went to Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yes.
She deserves it.
Yeah. Best actor in a comedy went to Colin Farrell for The Banshee of Inisherin.
They're very cool.
Real big shout at Colin Farrell. He was a bad boy for a while there, was a bit of a knucklehead, kind of went back to Ireland, got back more in touch with his roots, did a little bit of theater in a local play and stuff, and just can't seem to come back to Hollywood like, hey, I get it. I'm lucky to be here. I'm happy to work. Yeah. And by the way, I've also worked on my craft, and I've become incredibly better. Mm-hmm. You've heard me ramble about the new Batman movie. Robert Pattinson is my favorite new Batman. I love him. He's amazing in it. But really, the heart of that movie is Colin Farrell's performance as the Penguin and how dang good he is. Mm-hmm. He works through that makeup. Like, I always thought he was great as an actor. I always thought he was better than average. It's nice to see now. Oh yeah, he's even better than we thought.
Yeah, that's nice.
And now he gets it too. He's pulling up young actors. He's helping out people. Like, it's nice to see that happen. Best animated feature went to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. As I mentioned, Best Supporting Actor went to K.U. Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best Director to Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans. I don't know where he's going to put that trophy.
Yeah, he's probably got a whole room in his house. So many. Got, yeah.
Doesn't he have to just rent a small house?
Maybe to like a storage unit there. He just kind of throws it on the pile.
And Best Supporting Actress went to the legend, one of the greatest actors you will ever see, Angela Bassett, for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which is groundbreaking. Nobody has won a Golden Globe like for Best Actor or anything. Now, a while back, Heath Ledger won for Best Supporting Actor for The Joker posthumously. A lot of people believe that he won that because of passing.
Because he died, yeah.
I refuse to believe that. I voted for him long before that, but I digress. This is a game changer, not only for Angela Bassett, but for superhero movies.
Yep, that's right.
And getting them being legitimized.
Mm-hmm.
Best Drama went to House of Dragon. Best Actress in a Drama went to Zendaya for Euphoria. Best Actor in a Drama went to Kevin Costner for Yellowstone. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And it's not a shot at Yellowstone or even Kevin Costner. I'm sorry, but I've never seen Costner do anything that I couldn't see another actor do five times better. I'm sorry. And I say that to his face. I don't care. I stand on that hill.
I love your reactions to Kevin Costner so much. I'm just going to start randomly saying his name just so I can get those reactions from you.
I wanted to be clear, too. I don't know Kevin Costner.
No.
Him, the man, I have no issue with. I don't really care. Well, actually, that's not 100% true because his interviews in Rolling Stone and everything as a kid really bothered me. The way he would talk about acting and everything. Best musical or comedy went to the amazing Abbott Elementary.
Yay!
And best actress in a musical or comedy went to my good friend Quintina Brunson from Abbott Elementary. So damn proud of you, yay. Quintina. You deserve it, hon. You deserve it. Very, very happy for you. And best actor in a musical or comedy series went to Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Julie Garner won for Ozark for best supporting actress. Tyler James Williams won for Abbott Elementary. Good on him. Great actor. Best miniseries or TV show went to The White Lotus. Best actress in a miniseries went to Amanda Seyfried from The Dropout. Best actor in a miniseries or TV movie. This is a little tricky for me. I'm a huge, humongous fan of Evan Peters. I love his work. That kid is only getting better and better. He won, but he won for Dahmer. And I don't know how I feel about that. Good on him. Jennifer Coolidge won for Best Supporting Actress. She's so good. I'm happy for her. And Paul Walter Hauser won for Blackbird for Best Supporting Actor.
All right.
It's wrapping it up there. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun when we talk about our great big giveaway.
Yeah.
We got a great big new giveaway to tell you about. We're going to do that when we get back. Right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. A little bit later, we're going to tell you about a TikTok hack that'll help you remember someone's name. A lot of people excited about that one. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Super excited about that one, John.
I'm so excited.
I mean, James.
Nice. We're more excited, though, I got to be honest, to talk about this. We have something really exciting going on here with Civic Media. Now, we could say that every second of the day, really, because yeah. and for the last 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Our company, Civic Media, is growing every day. You hear all the time in our news and different news outlets talking about them buying this station or doing this or growing in this way. We are so proud and so happy to be a part of Civic Media. Mm-hmm. Encourage people to not only promote our station and support our station, but you're supporting local. You're supporting local people, Wisconsinites. You're supporting. You're keeping things in state. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you doing that, and we appreciate it so much that our people way up there and our advertisers, our sales team, Mike, Sage, the whole group, everybody came together. Like, how can we show the audience we appreciate them? How can we show local businesses how much we appreciate them helping us get on the map?
Yes.
$1 million seems like a good way to do it.
Let's do that. Yeah.
I feel like that yeah. seems like a pretty good cause. $1 million too much? Is $1 million too much? No. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right.
It's the $1 million advertising giveaway 2023. That is what we're talking about. We're excited for our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, and we're doing something big to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Tell them about this, gang. Let's let them know. How does this go? How does this work? How do I make this $1 million? How do I personally, James, get this million? Oh, no, I can't.
Okay. Wait. No, you can't get the $1 million.
Then I suppose, how does everybody
else? No $1 million for you.
How does everybody else do this then?
So, no, well, it's a way to get local businesses to, we can show them the power of advertising on radio. That's one of the goals of this. So we are going to, on one day, coming up here in a couple of weeks, January 26th, mark your calendars, everybody. We have a website page for you to go to, civicmedia.us/million. Mm-hmm. That's how you get there. You can go there right now, and it'll have a little thing up there. You can see more information about it. But on the 26th, if you go to that page, you'll see a sign-up sheet. You can fill it out, get some information in, and you can get yourself entered in to get part of this $1 million. The lowest tier, now get this, the lowest tier for this is $5,000 of free advertising in a month here on Civic Media. $5,000. And if you're a bigger company, it goes all the way up to $20,000. So it depends on size, it depends on that, but we're telling you, this is not a small thing. This is not a little thing. This is big. This is huge, especially for all the local businesses around here and throughout the state.
Indeed.
And it's important to keep in mind, as Melissa has mentioned before, this is for new or old, longtime advertisers.
Doesn't matter who you are. Yep. If you've done it before with us, that's great. But we still want you to get in and a part of this as well.
As Seth mentioned, the $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. Mm-hmm. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Be a part of the conversation happening there. Mm-hmm. Some rules apply. Full details on the website. And I'm looking at it right here. It is civicmedia.us/million. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it right here. It's really easy to keep up with.
Yep.
Encourage you to do that. And please be sure to let everyone know you heard about the $1 million advertising giveaway right here on the morning show at WFHR.
When you sign up for it, there'll be a little pull-down menu of where you heard, which show you heard it on. So it's kind of a friendly competition going on between the different stations here. So that'll be fun, too.
Now, we're a little newer here at WFHR to Civic Media. Mm-hmm. This is our chance to show them what we are made of.
That's right.
Let's show them how big our audience is.
Yeah.
Let's show these guys how big of a vast audience we've got here at WFHR.
Let's do it.
We know, and this is out there to everybody. And spread the word about this. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, you can also keep up to date on everything here at Civic Media with our app. Encourage you to download it. All of our shows are podcasted, and whether you like us or you like Kristen's show that comes on after us or any of these great shows, they're all there podcasted right there at civicmedia.us. That is civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, everybody. Spread the word about this one. You know, as you're on social media, use a bunch of hashtags and stuff to celebrate us. I've been trying to, for years, I've been trying to get the hashtag WFHR going.
Okay.
On Twitter, on Instagram, on everything. Let's do that. Let's keep that going. Let's promote it. Let's show how big our audience truly is. And while doing that, supporting local, buying local, helping local advertisers.
Yes.
That's what this is all about, everybody.
Indeed. This is really cool.
Yeah. Bookmark that day and the website so that you get on there after 9 and they're going to give that money away until it runs out or midnight.
Yep. I got a feeling it's going to run out before midnight. Just saying.
I think so.
I think it will. So you want to get
January 26th.
You want to get there on as early as you can. Make sure you get a part of this.
Another shameless promotion. I mean, another thing I wanted to talk about. This is a million-dollar giveaway, man. I could talk about this all day. This is so darn cool.
This is really cool.
I've done a lot of things like this. I've never done anything like this.
$1 million. That's a lot of money.
This is really something.
Nobody else is doing this.
No one.
No.
In Wisconsin, across the country, no one is doing this.
I bet you there are plenty of people giving away lots of money, but they ain't giving it to advertisers. They're not giving it to local businesses.
The little guys.
Yep, right, that's right.
Right. I also wanted to mention, speaking of local businesses and looking out for them, it's something that our good friends here at our sales team, Steph, Ashley, work so hard at, love doing, and a big shout out to both of them, and especially for this, because this makes my day. Tomorrow, right in this time slot, we are going to have Pet of the Week back, everybody.
Pet of the Week is back.
It's back. It's back. We are so excited about this. Our great friends at the Southwood County Humane Society are introducing Pet of the Week to our WFHR listeners again.
Again.
We, of course, did this for decades here at the station, and now we're happy to have it back.
Mm-hmm.
Every Thursday to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, we will welcome in our friends in the Southwood County Humane Society and get to hang out with a new furry friend that could possibly be your new best friend out there, everybody.
Yes, and I do want to point out that if you are interested in sponsoring a Pet of the Week, you can contact our office here, 424-1300. Talk to Ashley, talk to Steph. They will be able to get you hooked up with that if that's something you're looking to do.
Hey. Our first sponsor tomorrow will be Bow Wow Boutique.
Yep.
Big shout out to them. We've got Eway Sales and Services coming up, along with Cotton Thimble, a bunch of great local businesses that are going to be a part of this. We want you to be a part of it, too.
Yes.
424-1300 is how you get a hold of our sales staff. You'll talk to Pam, and then they'll get a hold of our sales staff.
Yep.
But I encourage you to do that, everybody. The best in the business, go ahead and talk to Steph or Ashley, and you won't be disappointed and be a part of this. And be listening tomorrow for the Southwood County Humane Society's Pet of the Week here at WFHR.
James could not be more excited.
Can't wait. Literally cannot wait.
He cannot wait.
But we will, because we got to get to it. We have to. So we'll do that, and we'll come back. We'll have some more fun after Melissa's news right here on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. This beat still holds up. I don't care if it's 81, 82. This beat still holds up.
Yep.
I am not letting go of this 80s thing anytime soon. I've got perfectly good modern bumpers right above this button, but I can't help myself every time. I was actually, I'll be honest with you guys, all right? I was going to go into this break with hitting the modern bumper.
Okay.
And I literally moved the mouse down right at the last second because I couldn't help myself. I promise not to promise this anymore. I won't promise that I'm going to do it. I'm just going to... I'm horrible. I should not be allowed on the airwaves. There is no reason I should be doing this for a living. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning out there, safe and sound. Does look like it's cleared up a little bit, but that doesn't mean that you need to, you know, speed up or anything like that.
No, please don't.
Please take your time getting wherever you need to go. And boy, this could be one of the genius hacks we've done. People online are actually calling it a genius hack. But could you really get away with it and not tip the person off?
Mm.
Someone on TikTok said there's a trick she uses anytime she can't remember someone's name. Okay. Instead of admitting she can't remember, she throws out this fake factoid. Quote, did you know it's really hard to say your own name three times fast?
Jeez.
The idea is that they'll automatically try it and then you'll know. And if they question it, you say it's because we're not used to saying our own name very much. In theory, like a lot of things, it might work. But if you do it too many times to too many people, you'll definitely get caught eventually.
Yeah, they'll catch on.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be careful not to do it in front of someone you already used it on. This is why I call everybody, hey, guy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Hey, you.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing? How are you?
Hey, kid. How's it going?
Hey, look at this guy. Look at that guy. I don't know. I'm bad with names, I'll admit. I'm good with faces. So, especially doing Morning Magazine, like probably year two. I've been doing it about 4 or 5 years now or whatever it is. But like year two, and you're seeing people the second time around and everything. And I know I've talked to you before. I can't think of it. It just drives me crazy. I feel very rude about it. But I will say, I've had plenty of people forget my name, and I have never made somebody feel rude for it.
No.
I feel like... It's one thing if you've been dating for like 6 months, like then, yeah, they should probably remember
your name by then.
I would take that an insult. I would
just a little bit. Yeah.
That might cut a little deep. But outside of that, I mean, we got to give each other grace about this one. There's literally billions and billions of people walking the earth. How many people? When's the last time you met somebody? And I've never met somebody with that name before.
Right. Like, exactly.
Chances are you've met 100 Jameses. You've met, you know.
What's so bad about just saying, "I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Can you, tell me again?" What's wrong with that? Why are we so embarrassed about admitting that we weren't even paying attention or we just missed it? You know, maybe it's just a legitimate miss.
Yeah, I think it's happened to everybody.
It has. Every single person.
New list of things that we are silly about, getting bent out of shape about, that we've all done. Like, that's a new list we can have.
We can start that list, yeah.
Literally, everybody's done this.
Yeah.
And the idea of getting bent out of shape about it seems a little ridiculous.
I would love to see them try this little trick and the person be like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just silent, awkward silence. Yes.
Show me how it works.
Yes. Nice, Melinda.
That would be awesome. Oh man. Only if you do it.
Yeah.
Can you demonstrate, please?
I'm totally doing this if somebody does it to me, but I'm going, really? Wow. Tony. Oh, it works. Yeah, it works. See if they call me Tony.
Random name.
Plus,
Thank you.
Seriously, dude. That was top notch right there.
Thank you. To all my 90s R&B fans out there, the great band Tony, I appreciate you. Sneaky good band, by the way. Sneaky good band.
I mean, there were no Bell Biv DeVoe,
No. No new addition. No. I really, really, really hope somebody tries to pull this on me. I've got so many things I want to use.
Oh man,
I may start making new friends just so that they have to do this to me. Interesting story coming out of AP News, we go to La Crosse for this one. Former politicians and political experts in Western Wisconsin are putting their money where their mouths are when it comes to elections. The group, which touts itself as the Select Committee on Election Predictions, has been meeting for nearly 50 years in La Crosse area to bet $5 on local, state, and national elections, Wisconsin Public Radio reports. The 8-member group includes former La Crosse mayor and state representative John Medinger, former state Senate president Brian Rood, and University of Wisconsin La Crosse MIT's political science professor John Hearn, or John Hem. Walter Belts of West Salem is the community committee's last living founder. He said he founded the committee after he grew tired of arguing with people over politics.
That's a good reason.
Quote, "The only way to get people to be honest about it is to put some money on it." Members met before each spring and fall elections to place their bets. They said politics might be more civil if people with different viewpoints sat down and talked like the community. With this group, we're here to be honest, and that's why sometimes when we get we go down this list of people running for office, we wind up picking people that we don't even like at all, but we figure that they're going to win.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's fascinating.
First, I think it's kind of interesting that this is legal. I don't know why, but for some reason it seems like one of those things where I don't know if it's legal or not, but if I had to, because of my background, I'm a little sensitive to these things and stuff. Like I'm not touching that one,
right?
Just because I feel like if it's legal for these guys, but if a Maloff does it, it's illegal. So
all of a sudden it's illegal.
I ain't going anywhere near that. But
I think it's a friendly wager. I think that's why it's okay. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. I think you can bet on anything in your little group of friends.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very true. However, I'm still,
still
not
you
doing
don't have to do
not
it. Doing,
not touching it.
It does seem a little weird.
It does. It does. And I will say that I like the idea of trying to get people together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very in favor of mm-hmm. people from different political viewpoints coming together sure. and having an adult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely in favor of that. What I don't like is anything that, and look, nobody uses metaphors more than me. We all know that. But we have to stop comparing politics to other things. Politics is its own animal.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing politics to sports, for instance, that has gotten us in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing it mm-hmm. to this or that or this, pop culture thing or whatever.
Right.
No, it's its own animal. We need to stop comparing it to other things and just look at it as its own entity, its own thing.
Right.
I
agree.
I do worry some of this stuff kind of muddies the water a little bit.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Of like the focus that needs to be put on politics. Do we need to take it as seriously as we do? Maybe not. But we need to be taking it serious. We need, and we every
serious enough, right? Yeah.
Every year since 1996 or 1997, I'm sorry, I can't see which one. People are becoming more and more disengaged. In the last 7 years, the amount of people that have become disengaged from voting and understanding politics. I'm not talking about the people voting.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people voting nowadays. We've seen record
numbers
voting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Informed voters is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And that muddies the water a little bit for me when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me a little bit of a concern. But I don't begrudge these people this. I encourage,
no.
I'm happy for them. You know, it sounds like they're having a great time doing this.
Having the conversations, like you said, that's important.
Yeah. I'm not trying to pick on this group. I'm more using this as a chance to get on my soapbox and talk about this. That's wholeheartedly admitted.
He's wearing that thing out, man. You're gonna need a new soapbox soon.
Now we know what to get him for his birthday.
I was going to ask if anybody knew where you could get a good new soapbox.
A really strong.
Look, I weigh like 5 pounds. It doesn't have to be that strong, let's be honest.
But
let's get him something other than Irish Spring this time, please.
We have to keep a dial one, maybe. I don't know.
Take a break. We're coming back with a That Ain't Right story that may be the worst gender reveal party ever.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Coming back with that on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Sure, appreciate the updates from our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Do want to remind everybody that we'll take you to the top of the hour here, and then starting at 10:04, we will kick off Morning Magazine for the day, and boy, we got great guests in part one. Our friends from Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hittner, are going to join us.
Oh, fun.
That's going to be great. It's going to be a blast. And then in part two, we'll have Encourage with us. Kim Shields will be in studio. We're going to talk about Mary's Place of Central Wisconsin with Anita Carlson.
Good.
Very, very cool.
Kim and Danita, both great conversations. We mm-hmm. love talking with both of them, and really excited any chance we get to talk about Mary's Place.
Yes, I get to drive by the building they're working on, and they're in the thick of it right now.
They're
lots
working
of trucks. They're
really
working
hard.
Yes, they are.
That's good.
Great stuff on our sports dial tonight, right here at our sister station on WIRI, Wisk Country 105.5. Tip off at 5:30 for Marquette versus UConn. Great Big East matchup mm-hmm. right there. Man, Marquette is a fun team to watch right now. Shaka got them playing good.
Yeah.
And on WFHR at 5:40, we got Wisconsin women's basketball as they're taking on Michigan State.
Yeah, Big Ten right. there. Got to switch
Lady.
Back and forth between the two stations.
Yes, go Lady Badgers.
Yeah.
Here is a That Ain't Right story, and it is a doozy. Gender reveal parties have been a thing for about 15 years now.
Has it been that
wow.
long?
That's insane. That is insane. A mommy blogger kicked the trend off in 2008 when she cut into a pink cake and revealed she was having a girl.
Okay.
Since then, people have gotten more creative, they say, in this article. I don't know about that. And started
insane.
Yeah, started forest fires, earthquakes, literal
people
earthquakes.
People have died.
People have lost their life over this stuff.
That's ridiculous.
Is this a new low? A dad in the Philippines is going viral after revealing his baby's gender by flushing a toilet.
What?
He dyed the water in the toilet tank and decorated the bathroom with pink and blue balloons. He had the whole family cram into the bathroom, flush the toilet, and the water was blue, so it's a boy, everybody. He called it a low budget and fun way to deliver the news to everybody. And for what it's worth, they all seemed to enjoy it.
Okay.
Now, of course, where the people that didn't enjoy it were the people who had nothing to do with it. Of course, people online having to make sure that everybody knows their opinion. Oh, wait, I love this person, this modern person, reading this article. Yeah, let me see. Oh, well, I better put my comment on this. Everybody's waiting.
I love that, yes.
Everybody's dying to know what I am
what writing. I think about it.
John Joe Smith here, random town in America. Let me comment on this and make sure everybody knows how what I
think. My 12 followers know what I...
Yes. So is this the worst gender reveal ever? Or is it kind of a fun, cheeky way of kind of doing this? And I didn't mean a pun by cheeky.
But that was very good. I like that, though. That's going in the Hall of Fame. I got to start writing these down.
That actually was all right. That was a bad.
This one is harmless. Totally harmless.
It is harmless.
It's not a big deal.
As long as whatever dye they're using isn't going to harm, have any impact on the water supply.
You would, Melissa. You so would do that.
This is her wheelhouse. I've been honest with Melissa about this. At first, it was a little frustrating. I love it about her. I love it. It's a personality trait that I admire about you. I look up to with you, Mel, because it also is part of how you are able to, no matter what the situation, I see Melissa pushing through.
No
matter what's going on in front of her, there's a tank in front of her, she's pushing through that tank.
If she
knows a way around it.
Tank. God, you're just full of them today.
Just really bad.
If I didn't know Melissa from other things, mm-hmm, I met her mm-hmm. during a show and all that kind of stuff. And I just listened to her on the radio. She's like, God, what a killjoy.
Okay, but now wait, I have
wet
more.
Wet blanket.
Mm-hmm. Just wait. No, I've got a total new, another idea here. Okay. Marketing plan for the people who make the tank, what you call them?
Bombs?
No, not a bath bomb. But for your toilet tank.
Right, like the 2000 flushes thing. Yeah.
So now they need to make them in, because blue is obviously very available.
Yeah.
Pink is not. And now it needs to be.
Oh, that's so good. See, now that's...
You're welcome, world. Yeah. Melissa just put that out there.
Mel, you copyright that right now. You get over to the copywriting office.
All future gender release parties, reveal parties.
Have to be at the toilet, I agree.
But that's where a lot of women find out they're pregnant. So actually, I think it's kind of cool.
That is actually a really strong point right there. That is actually really good. Wow. That wouldn't have crossed my mind. I'm glad you mentioned
good
that.
Good one.
That's a good one. Have you ever been to, because this happened, all of us, and I don't mean to make us old or anything, but we're a little older than the generations that are really into this.
Right.
Have you, any of you ever been to one of these gender reveal parties? I've never even been to one.
Nope. Not
I can't
a one.
Even remember the last baby shower I went to.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to. I was trying to think of the last baby shower when we went to. I don't even remember
when
that.
When you get to a certain age, that does tend to not happen
kind of
as much.
Off.
It does.
I don't know if I was invited to one. I think I might go just out of curiosity. just to see what goes on. And I would also go with a hazmat outfit. I'll tell you this, whatever takes me out, it ain't going to be that. I'm not going to be sitting around a bunch of ghosts and them teasing me about me passing. Like, you survived this, this, and this, and this, but a gender reveal party took you out? Nah, I'm not spending eternity that way, man. No.
Wear a field hockey outfit and you're fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm ridiculous. On to some good stories of the day. The big Mega Millions drawing was last night, but another lottery story is also in the news. Someone in Wisconsin hit a $15 million jackpot last week. And you can tell it wasn't me because I am still here.
You're still here.
I'm joking. and the winning ticket, of course, we talked about this the other day. It was found in Luck, or was bought in Luck, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And no one knows who the lucky Luck resident is yet. But
They haven't come forward?
Nope.
Wow.
That was just kind of the follow-up to that story, because I told the audience that I keep an eye on this. So far, don't have anybody coming forward yet.
Weird story about Luck, Wisconsin. When I went to school, I knew about it because there was in the class that I went in with, there were 10 people that came to the school from Luck, Wisconsin. Really? Which is weird. Luck is tiny. It's not a very big town, but that's how I knew about Luck, Wisconsin.
It is weird. That's interesting, though. Huh. It must be a lot closer to the border than I
realized. It is. It's by St. Croix Falls in that area. Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
A new report ranked the friendliest cities in America, and the top five are Honolulu, Newport, Rhode Island, New Orleans, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Asheville, North Carolina.
All very cool towns.
All fun ones to say, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Chattanooga, right Chattanooga. Up there with Sheboygan. Right up there with Sheboygan. That's a fun one to say right there.
Chattanooga is a very cool town to be in. It's very neat. Yeah,
I really want to check out Tennessee.
I've some great cities in Tennessee, yeah.
I've never been there. Got to do it. They do have a great list of honorable mentions, and Madison, Wisconsin is the number one name on the honorable mentions list. At number six.
Missed the top five, but that makes sense. Yeah.
And if you're feeling good about that, Wisconsin, well, number seven, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
There you go. Minneapolis, not St. Paul.
And that's a little interesting.
There's some bitter St. Paulites out there now.
Rochester, New York, also an honorable mention. And Charleston, South Carolina.
I will vouch for Charleston. It's an amazing city.
I will second that.
Yeah.
I loved my time in South Carolina. North Carolina, great too, but I really enjoyed
Asheville
my time.
Asheville is a great town too, but man, Charleston's great.
Yeah, great place. And one more good story for you here. A new study found listening to music has probably helped a lot of people deal with the pandemic-related stress the last few years, especially when COVID first hit. Quote, listening to music in daily life has significantly associated with lower levels of stress during the lockdown. And awesome. So there's a lot of people incorporating this now into their modern day and, you know, into their daily lives and everything. Spoiler alert, music's good for you.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It really is.
It's really a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. We've had this week. I've really enjoyed it. Melissa, thank you so much for everything you do. We appreciate you. You enjoy yourself. Have a good day, okay?
Yeah, you too, guys.
Have a good one, Seth. We'll talk again soon.
I'm going to go listen to some music.
Yeah, right on. Good idea. I appreciate all you do, brother. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. Well, you know what, James? You say it better. Wait a minute. This doesn't work if I'm... I'll just go ahead and play it, everybody.